The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it is World Heart Day, and joining us for this week's Ask the Expert slot is Dr. David Burke, consultant cardiologist and director of cardiology at the Beacon Hospital. If you have any questions for David, you can get them to us now by WhatsApp 087 1400 106. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
So, how important is World Heart Day?
I suppose it's important enough to need its own day, isn't it? The heart, I mean, you have to keep an eye on these things. The theme this year is don't miss a beat, which I suppose is clever and yet ironic. But that's the key to the whole thing, is to keep an eye on things.
Now, heart disease is forever with us. And there was a time when men were more likely to die from heart disease than women. Has that changed?
The figures balance out. Ironically, women tend to present slightly differently with heart disease, and there's often quite a push in different times of the year. February is heart health for women month, in fact, and I suppose it's felt to be that bit different in women, and so needs its own push and awareness campaign. But yes, absolutely, I think across the board, be it men or women, the figures are certainly high, and it's the number one killer.
Now, the questions people will always ask, is it preventable, or if you've got it in the family, is it inevitable you're going to be in trouble?
There's certainly, I mean, there are what we call risk factors, or the things that we look at, and a genetic or a family tendency will certainly run you into bother sooner rather than later. But there's lots of different pieces that play into it. Certainly your overall lifestyle and health as you work along, blood pressure, cholesterol, smoking, fitness, activity, all of the, I suppose in some ways, obvious things would play into it as we get a bit older. But it all feeds together as we age.
Okay, but if you have it in the family, you've got to be even more careful than the next person.
I suppose it would be important to be more proactive about it, absolutely. Yeah. And when we talk about family history, we're talking about parents or brothers and sisters or grandparents who ran into bother at a younger age. Mm. I hear a lot of people talk about it and they say, oh, my granddad had a different, you know, a different life, a different time, and that doesn't apply to me, but you can't take that for
granted
either.
Yeah, but if granddad was smoking 60 a day.
No, true, absolutely. But you see, people use that as a way to try and
say it's not me,
negate their own risk. Yes, exactly. And so you have to be mindful of that too.
Okay. Wearables.
Yes.
We know that many people are wearing smart watches. I can get my blood oxygen on this one. I can get my heart beat.
Absolutely.
I can't get much else. But the eye watch can get you a lot more.
I'm a big believer in the fitness wearables. I suppose I head up our research department in the Beacon, and we do lots of different studies and lots of different things, but we're particularly, I suppose, interested in connected health or continuous monitoring. And the fitness wearables have really started to push into the more medical realm. And exactly that, you can see I have two on today. I have an Apple Watch and I also have a Whoop. Whoop, anybody who knows me, I sort of tend to rabbit on about it.
They're what is it?
It's a fitness wearable. You can see it's just a plain band.
WHOOP.
WHOOP, exactly. And they're, I suppose, primarily and initially were targeted at athletes. You see these. So if you're watching any of the golf in particular, some of the guys last night had it on, certainly, and athletics, basketball, football, they've just become quite, I suppose, omnipresent.
And what does it tell you, the Whoop?
We see it's incredibly clever because it gives you a huge amount of information in terms of the simple, like we've pushed way past step counts. Obviously, the initial wearables could track simple things. But now we're looking at heart rate variability. We look at activity and strain. We look at your recovery. We look at sleep. All sorts of different metrics that we're able to watch continuously.
I remember years
time.
Ago when I used to play squash, one of the things you would check for your fitness was after you'd finished and you'd be absolutely whacked, bathed in sweat, your heart going like a bum, 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 bum. And it's how quickly you went back to normal was the measure that we used to have. So after, you know, 3 minutes, where's your heart rate now? After 5 minutes, where's your heart rate now?
That's a piece of it. And exactly that, I suppose, what these gadgets allow you to do is to track that information continuously over time. And for somebody like me, you know, you meet people in a clinic every 6 months, every 12 months, whatever it's going to be. And I suppose you're getting a snapshot at the time. But when you have this additional information that you're able to leverage and, I suppose, get a more continuous measurement, I think it's incredibly helpful.
I mean, we know when blood pressure is being monitored, they give you a halter thing to wear for 24 hours. And this is, if you like, even better than that, not blood pressure wise, but for heart rate and so on, you're getting a 24/7.
It's part of the overall puzzle, I suppose, and it's just adding in more information as you push along. So exactly that. I would always argue that the best test of yourself is yourself, but now people will come armed with a combination of that and a lot of these different measurements. So it's clever stuff.
Okay, some of the questions coming in. I get palpitations often and feel very uncomfortable. Should I go to the GP?
Palpitations are incredibly variable and different for everybody. I suppose it's a sense of the heartbeat. All of us have about 100,000 heartbeats a day. We're all about the same. And most of us have a couple of hundred extra beats or ectopics. They will feel like a thump or a drop or a skip in the beat, usually when you're resting in the evening times. They're usually of no concern. But the part of this question I think that flags immediately is when they say they're very uncomfortable. As soon as somebody says that they're, you know, troublesome in that way, I would get them checked, yes.
For the physical heart, cholesterol, LDL and HDL, do these play a part in the body's defense of diseases in the way that white blood cells, NK, act? And do statins indirectly affect these functions?
No, well, statins, I suppose that's another day's job in some ways. But cholesterol is both incredibly important in your system in that it coats the nervous system and it performs different tasks within the cells. That tends to be your HDL or your protective good cholesterol. LDL is the bad one. So when we're looking at high cholesterol, LDL is the one that we tend to flag and tend to watch. And LDL is the one that will build up in the blood vessels and cause narrowings and blockages. The statins as a medication are designed to lower that LDL, and they're the only thing proven, in fact, to successfully prevent any further buildup of the LDL throughout the system. That's why they've become popular. They have their sort of downside in terms of potential side effects, but that's not quite as common as people think either.
Yeah, I mean, people get joint pain or limb pain, but then they change statin and it goes.
Aches and pains tend to be the commonest, and unfortunately then a lot of people stop, but there are tricks and alternatives to that. And absolutely, if you're at a point where you need a statin, you tend to be better off with it than without it.
This one, can you please ask your cardiologist, will costochondritis affect your heart later in life, as it seemed like a constant bruised rib? That's from Kevin.
Costochondritis is an inflammation of the, I suppose, the connection of the ribs with the breastbone down along, and it can feel very sinister and it can feel very significant, very uncomfortable, but it's usually thought to be a post-viral issue. So it's usually after a viral illness, and it's a complete nuisance, but it's not in any way affecting the heart.
Now, I don't know what this is. An LBBB was detected after a Leia cardiac screening, which was included in my policy. What action should be taken, if any?
An LBBB is a left bundle branch block, so it's a bit of a mouthful, and it's basically a quirk of your ECG. So when you put the stickers on and they run off a trace and you see the tracing with the spikes, that gives you about a 10-second snapshot, and it allows us to look at the natural electrics of the heart and look to see if there's any irregularity or any issue with the rhythm. But a left bundle branch block is basically a quirk of the electrics where there's a slight delay in the electrics getting naturally out to the left side of the heart as opposed to the right. It's an interesting one. Some people have it as a normal wear and tear piece, but it can be, it can represent an underlying problem. And absolutely, if somebody pitched up with chest discomfort and this LBBB, you have to act on that.
Loads of questions coming in on that aforementioned costochondritis. Mm. So it's common and it's not dangerous.
It's not. It can feel dangerous, to be fair. We meet lots of people and they very much feel that it relates to their heart, but it's completely separate. It's not affecting the heart in any way.
I recently had an episode of atrial fibrillation, which happened when I was doing squats and other weights. I'm now on thinners and beta blockers. I'm in my 50s. I thought weights were good for the heart. Can you please ask the cardiologist if he has any advice, as I really enjoy keeping fit?
I suppose there's a few parts to the question, isn't there? The weights and physical activity and fitness and exercise are absolutely encouraged. I suppose from a World Heart Day, you know, theme and recommendation, the trick is to get the heart rate up, get a sweat on really with whatever physical activity. It's going to be 4 or 5 times a week for about 20 or 30 minutes. That's the general terms of advice. Weights included in that, and it's unlikely that the weights actually set off the issue. Atrial fibrillation, a lot of people are more aware of this now, and actually to go back on the fitness wearable piece, a lot of them can pick it up. But atrial fibrillation is an irregular heartbeat. The reason we get concerned about it is if your heart flicks from a regular heartbeat into an irregular one, it tends to run much quicker. So people will feel that as palpitation, but the risk of stroke is higher. It can double over time. And so the treatment is exactly that, a beta blocker to steady it out, and the blood thinner is the stroke prevention piece.
Would keep going on the weights?
If it's gangbuster stuff where you're, you know, clenching and grinding and it's very, very heavy, I'd say that's probably not ideal. But if it's standard stuff, then there's no restriction at all.
I'm 56. I have a resting heart rate of 30 beats per minute. I do triathlon on 10Ks, so I'm very fit. I can get my heart rate up to 180 beats per minute on occasion. Could my low resting heart rate be an issue for the future?
And exactly that, with these gadgets, you watch their heartbeat over time. And most of us have a resting heart rate somewhere between 50 and 70 beats a minute. But at nighttime, you can easily go down into the 40s. Mm. I tend to meet a lot of people who wonder if that's an issue, and it isn't. You will meet people who run into the lower numbers. I suppose fitness can play into that. My age-old example was Lance Armstrong. He had a heart rate of 31, but there were other issues in play there. So I suppose it can be. Will it affect you as you get older? It could potentially go slightly slower with wear and tear, and then a pacemaker be in discussion. But no, at this point, provided there are no symptoms with it, I would have no concerns.
My husband has sleep apnea, which caused irregular heartbeat. As a result, he had 3 ablations and 1 cardioversion on a heart tablet for life. He has to use a CPAP machine, gets about 4 hours sleep a night. He's 58. Is there any other option for him, because he hates that machine?
Yeah, sleep apnea is a tricky one, in the sense that there are very limited treatment options beyond a CPAP machine, which is a mask that blows up positive air. So it's like sticking your head out the car window continuously. And some people find it fantastic. Some people just can't do it. It does make your risk of atrial fibrillation or an irregular heartbeat slightly higher. And the machine is really the only way around it. I suppose you would look at other lifestyle issues. People who have sleep apnea tend to carry more weight, so sometimes improvement in weight can help it. Blood pressure can sometimes play into it. So there's a few other pieces, but slightly tricky one.
This one, I get a sharp shooting heart pain occasionally through the left side of my chest. It's enough to make me wince. I drink quite a lot of coffee during the week, and if I get this pain and stop drinking coffee for a few days, it goes away. Is it common?
Incredibly common. I suppose the red flag chest discomfort that we look out for as cardiologists is an exertional tightness or discomfort, but like I say, with activity. So if the classic description is, if you're pushing up a hill, you start to get tight in the chest, be it, you know, a squeeze or a restriction in breathing, and then you stop and it goes away. That's what we're watching out for. Tweaks and twinges, as I would call them, which seem to relate to coffee and as you're sitting there, usually no concern.
Been told on 3 occasions after procedure under sedation that my BPM dropped to between 42 to 46 beats per minute, and to link in with my GP. My resting heart rate averaged 52 to 56 on monitoring by my GP. He said some people just have a lower heart rate, but I am overweight, 58 years old, get very little exercise because of arthritis. Should I be concerned that my heart rate is so low?
No, like I say, some people just run naturally slow, and it's not necessarily related to fitness. The trick would be to do an ECG with the GP and just make sure that electrically the rhythm looks good and there's no abnormality there in terms of the actual electrics themselves.
Fine, slow is fine. People want to know, what are leaky valves?
A leaky valve. So you have 4 valves in your heart. It's like a standard plumbing system. They open and close. They're like small little gateways, I suppose. And they just stop the blood going backwards in the system. So over time, with wear and tear, the valves can become slightly floppy and they'll open well, but then not seal well. And so the blood can come backwards in the system.
All right, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much to Dr. David Burke, consultant cardiologist and director of cardiology at the Beacon Hospital. A very informative session for World Heart Day.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.